Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I am very excited to be here today. I want to thank you all for joining us. My guest today is New York Times best-selling author and veterinarian surgeon, Dr. Nick Trout. He'll be talking to us today about his recently released book, Ever by My Side, A Memoir in Eight Pets. It's a really fantastic book. The book details how the pets that Dr. Trout's had throughout his life have helped him and shaped him into the person he is today. So I'm excited to talk to him a little bit about that in just a moment. But first, I'd like to talk to you about an interesting article that I read in Newsweek. And the article was titled, Are Dogs Stealing Our Jobs? Which I think is pretty fascinating as we're all looking for jobs. Are dogs really stealing the jobs? And dogs are being trained for numerous things like medical technicians and military bomb specialists, pest patrol, looking for those bed bugs that we hear so much about, and also deep sea scientists. But did you know dogs are also being trained to be reality TV stars? So everybody looking for their own reality show, and your little puppy's looking for one as well. But the article's a fascinating little article. It's written by Jesse Ellison. So I want everybody to take a look at that. And, we always knew our animals and our dogs are, in particular, are super smart and trained to do a lot of different things, but never knew that they were trained for all these different things, such as detecting bed bugs in hotel rooms and in offices. So check out the article. Article once again is called Are Dogs Stealing Our Jobs? Are Dogs Stealing Our Jobs? You can go to the Animal Rights blog on Pet Life Radio. So go to PetLifeRadio.com, click on Animal Rights Blog, and you can read a little bit more about the article. And I'll also give you a link to the Newsweek article so you can read the actual article. So, yeah, even dogs are taking our jobs nowadays. I tell you, the world's tough. I feel like Rodney Dangerfield when I say that. I tell you. So, so I want to give you a little tidbit. Hope you find that article interesting and as interesting as I do. We're going to go to a little bit of a break here, but everybody hang tight. We're coming right back with Dr. Nick Trout right after these messages. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Buster, you're telling me my dog food products can't go on your shelves?
That's right. Didn't pass one of my Petco certified nutrition checklists. Sorry, Wayne.
Who made these checklists?
Geniuses. Very smart guys.
Well, it's good enough for most grocery stores.
Do you see cheese puffs on my shelves? Mayonnaise? Soda pop?
No.
That's because I ain't running no grocery store, Wayne. Your pets will get better nutrition, I guarantee it. Petco, where healthy pets go.
Enter the code LUCKY10, L-U-C-K-Y, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
I play tennis because I love to. But inside, I want to win. Take away the court, the net. I might not be a player, but I'll always be a competitor. Lady Foot Locker understands that.
Lady Foot Locker, the first to carry Adidas off-court shoes and the gear that goes with them.
If you play your best, there's no regret.
Lady Foot Locker, one place, every woman.
Go to LadyFootLocker.com and enter the code AFANW1LF to get 10% off any order of $50 or more. Or enter the code AFANW2LF to get 15% off any order of $75 or more at LadyFootLocker.com.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. It's the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Hi, Hey, everybody. I'm Megan Blake here with my sidekick, Super Smiley, the giant mutt and spokes dog for throwaways. You're listening to Pet Life Radio, and I'd like to tell you about our brand new show, A Super Smiley Adventure. Our show explores adventures with animals. They can be traveling, out in the world trips, or inner journeys where our animals lead us to inspiration and self-discovery, or just plain fun adventures. Join us here on Pet Life Radio on A Super Smiley Adventure. Good boy.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is Dr. Nick Trout, best-selling author, and has this fantastic new book out called Ever By My Side, A Memoir in 8 Pets. So when I talk to him a little bit about that, I love the title, love the definitely love the picture on the front of the book as well. So Dr. Trout, thanks for joining Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me on the show.
Our pleasure. Well, congratulations on the book.
Thank you. I'm glad you liked the title, the subtitle, and the cover.
Exactly. It's fantastic. I just love it. It's a very catching. It has a young gentleman on the front with his puppy dog, and that catches everybody's attention. And I love the fact that it's a memoir in 8 acts, and it's slashed out to actually reflect on the 8 pets. So tell us a little bit about the book.
Yeah, I mean, it's really sort of came about by me being someone who's written in the past about my professional relationship with animals, primarily, you know, working as a veterinarian and the animals that come through the hospital door. And this time I wanted to capture, you know, those personal animals in my life that have been with me from when I was a child all the way through to the present day. It was really my attempt to sort of say what these animals have imparted on me, the sort of messages, the sort of lessons I've been able to learn. I kind of liken it to when you pull up at a traffic light and the guy in front has a bumper stickers all over the back of the car, and you get a pretty good idea of the kind of person that person is just by reading these bumper stickers. Well, these little snippets of stories are the bumper stickers that the animals in my life have left on me, and I hope they give you an idea of what kind of a person I've become thanks to them.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. I love that because you're absolutely spot on with that. You pull up and see the bumper stickers, and you know exactly what schools they attend, what church they attend, what their philosophy and political views are.
That's right.
It's like a Facebook on a car or something.
Yeah, really.
Well, tell us briefly about the 8 pets that you've had in your life.
Yeah, I mean, it's a strange collection of animals because, when I was a little boy growing up, we didn't have a cat or dog or any other pet of our own. And the first animals I really got to know were the dogs of my grandmother's, my mother and my father's mother. And these were a really strange combination. I was blessed with an adorable, easygoing, happy, somewhat overweight Dalmatian called Cleo, who you could do no wrong by. If you tripped over her, she'd be apologetic and move out of your way as though it was all her fault. And the other dog was a snappy, aggressive little toy poodle named Marty. And of course, this was a dog that was, as I said, the pet that you could not pet. It didn't make any sense to me as a little boy to have an animal that you couldn't touch because it was potentially too aggressive and would bite you back. And so I was struck by what a strange combination of animals these grandmothers have. And it was really brought home to me when Marty, the snappy little poodle, decided to jump into the ocean, and my grandmother, who I thought had to be at least 200 years old, decided to jump in after this dog and rescue this dog. And that really hit home as a lesson for me to say, you know, just because a relationship between a person and an animal looks different to me doesn't make it any less special. And that was one of my sort of earliest lessons in the unique relationship that people and the bond people can have and how much it will motivate them to risk their own life to save an animal in this instance. And then as we moved on, finally we did get our own dog. We had a German Shepherd, and this was a dog that my mother did not approve of, in that my father conspired with his mother for us to get this dog. And that was always a bone of contention. And my father to this day thinks that my mother has still never forgiven him about that. And this dog really was the sort of defining moment of dogs, or dogginess, if you will. I always tell people that there was no way I could ever be a veterinarian who worked around horses, because I could never fool people that I understood or could, you know, feel what a horse was going, you know, what was going on. I could never fool the horse-owning public. Well, this dog allowed me to get a sense of what it's like to live with a dog, the sort of nuances and the subtleties of being with a dog. And that was the dog that was around when I started to really think about, you know, maybe I should become a veterinarian. And then my father had more dogs after that, and then ultimately, of course, there came the time when the pets would be my own. And the first pet I really sort of acquired when I first came to the United States 20 years ago was a cat, an ornery cat that came as a package deal with my wife and what would be my stepdaughter. I just think of her as my daughter. And, you know, when you come into a relationship and you've got a little five-year-old girl, some men and fathers would say that's a tough thing to do. I'll tell you, the cat was far harder to deal with than the little five-year-old girl. And that was my first true sense of learning about cats. And then as we're moving toward the present day, we've acquired a Jack Russell Terrier and a Yellow Labrador. And one of the great things about having a Yellow Labrador is my empathy with Labrador owners. I get how food-driven Labradors are. I get the whole oral fixation. I get how attentive and needy they are and how doting they are. And so it's a great combination of having a Terrier and a Labrador. And I, you know, as I say to everybody, guess who's the boss of that relationship? So it was really, you know, this, and along the way, there were other animals that just stepped up at the right moment to impart something that could just steer you in a certain direction or make you take a look at a different perspective. And, you know, I really wanted to sort of show them off and give them their due, if you will.
Absolutely, because they're huge parts of your life, obviously, and you're obviously honoring them not only by mentioning them, but the lessons they taught you.
Yeah, and it's just uncanny the way that, you know, they've just been there at the right time and done the right thing. And, you know, I think that's obviously open to everybody's individual interpretation, but this is my take on it. This is what I felt like they've helped me, you know, achieve and become.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I tell clients all the time that, you know, animals come into our life for a specific purpose at the right and perfect time. And oftentimes we don't even realize that until much, much later down the road.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. I particularly love the story about how you had to win your wife's cat's heart before you could win her heart.
it's like this stamp of approval that the ultimate test. And it was really that there were these sort of turning points that you've succeeded when the cat would fall asleep on your lap. The cat's name was Reginald, and when Reggie would fall asleep on your lap and you'd be wake up and there'd be drool stuck on some part of your body, you knew you'd achieve success. But the other thing was that if you really made it into his upper echelon of approval, he would start licking your hand. And it took a long, long time to get there, because he was just innately an indoor-outdoor tough hoodie. You know, I refer to him not as a slum dog, but a slum cat. He was, he was from the streets, and, he had an attitude. And that was always a huge part of his appeal, that he was so unattainable. You know, you wanted to cuddle and hug and hold him, and he was just so tough and individual. You know, he just didn't want any of that. And it was another fine lesson of basically, you know, for a relationship to be right, just let it evolve, let it happen on his terms rather than trying to force it. And, that was how it ultimately turned out.
Yeah, very good. And you got the cat, got the woman, and got everything, so you're all set. Well, everybody, hang tight. We're going to get ready to go to a commercial break, but we're going to come right back and continue our conversation with Dr. Nick Trout in his book, Ever by My Side. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/Lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
I don't make any decisions about who to hire without going to Angie's List first.
You'll find reviews on home repair to healthcare written by people just like you.
With Angie's List, I know who to call, and I know the results will be fantastic.
Angie's List, which you can trust.
Go to AngiesList.com/rights and get 25% off any subscription. That's AngiesList.com/rights, W-R-I-T-E-S.
Whether they're big, small, hairy, or whatever, you're going to need gear for your feet. And Kids Foot Locker's got all the great shoes and gear that'll get you in the game.
Go to kidsfootlocker.com and enter the code AFANW1KF to get 10% off any order of $50 or more. Or enter the code AFANW2KF to get 15% off any order of $75 or more at kidsfootlocker.com.
And cover those funky feet.
When you're looking to add a pet into your life, consider adopting a homeless animal from your local shelter or rescue group. Whether you want a kitten, puppy, or a more mature pet, a purebred or a one-of-a-kind mixed breed, even a rabbit or hamster, your shelter has the best selection of animals anywhere, all screened for good health and behavior. PetLifeRadio.com presents Take Me Home with your host, Susan Daffron. Join us each week as we showcase wonderful pets, tell stories, and even throw some pet education into the mix. So get ready to find out why the pet adoption option can be a great way to add a furry companion into your life. Take Me Home every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio, and we're here talking to Dr. Nick Trout about his great book, Ever by My Side, a memoir in 8 pets. Now, Dr. Trout, we had there was a story in there about the German Shepherd you had named Patch. And I know recently that in the news, gotten a lot of attention about childhood bullying. Tell us a little bit about Patch, the German Shepherd, and how it helped you through those experiences when you were a young lad.
I one of the reasons that we originally acquired this dog was my father felt like we needed a dog with a big booming bark because we lived in a kind of a rough neighborhood, and this was England in the 1960s, and you know the days of helicopter parenting hadn't really been invented back then, and I was out at a Cub Scout meeting. You know, I was dressed in one of those uniforms that was going to make me an easy target for some hoods in the neighborhood, and these two characters that I recognized from school that had the nicknames Carrot and the Slouch. These were an odd couple of, you know, they're a little older, a little heavier, had already started indulging in some smoking and trying to look tough and hoody. And I got cornered just outside of our house. And, you know, as dogs do, they're, particularly German Shepherds, they're very tuned into the perimeter that they are, you know, sworn to protect. And fortunately for me, they were trying to accost me just before I came home, and Patch heard this, gave out a little bark, and actually broke out of the house and charged at the fence and scared the living daylights out of these kids. And one of the things that always appealed to me about that incident was the fact that, you know, I got on the other side of the fence with what they thought was the sort of guardian of Hades, this huge German Shepherd that they thought was going to rip their throats out, and was actually with me, you know, a gentle giant. And there was such an appeal of hoping that they were somewhere out in the darkness, having run away, looking back and seeing this little puny little kid who they were about to beat up, you know, able to charm and interact with what looked to be like this junkyard security dog. You know, it's interesting to this day how these dogs that I see professionally that, you know, in my previous book I was talking about little Minpins, and how, mm-hmm. you know, Minpins have that, they're great little lap dogs, but they're feisty and ornery. And I tell you, every time I see a Minpin that walks into the examination room, there's this sudden transition into what looks like a little, you know, becomes that little Doberman Pinscher, and becomes more aggressive and feisty and defensive and not liking a visit to the veterinarian. And it's a reminder to me that, you know, what you see is not always what you get, because very often, even though they have that reputation, they're actually, you know, kind-hearted sweethearts that wouldn't bite you if it was the last thing on earth.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, you had wanted to talk to you about the process of writing this book. You know, this is a memoir of the animals in your life. Previous books you've written has been a lot of them geared towards veterinarian medicine in your practice. Tell us about the process of writing this memoir. Did you find it easy and flowing freely, or was it a little bit more difficult to give perspective on your own life?
Yeah, I mean, I think actually this was a little easier. My father is a big, you know, and my relationship with my father and his obsession with James Herriot and desire for me to become that kind of James Herriot veterinarian features very strongly in the book. You know, he became so obsessed that, you know, he started speaking with a Yorkshire accent and reading the books and leaving them around everywhere and watching All Creatures Great and Small all day long and learning all the lines to All Creatures Great and Small. Oh, and he now actually lives in the heart of James Herriot country in Wensleydale in Yorkshire, England. So obsessed is he with the whole process still. But I did very much involve him in trying to capture, you know, some of the stuff when I was a young kid that I may have overlooked or missed or forgotten about. So he really helped me with that. And I think it is harder writing a memoir in terms of, you know, it feels more personal. You feel like you're putting yourself out there more. But I thought it was the right thing to do. I thought it offered something a little different from the, you know, every time I write a book, I try to do something a little different, you know, to give the pet readers, you know, a different perspective. And, yeah, I mean, it was a worry when it was all said and done, you know, was my father, was my mother, was my sister going to, and particularly my wife as well, were they going to like this product? Were they going to like reading it? And my wife read it, and she thought my father might not like it. As it turned out, he absolutely loves it. So I was thrilled by that, because, you know, to some extent, it is a tribute not only to the animals by my side, but of course those other people in my life who have been by my side as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think your words are spot on. When writing memoirs, you can put yourself out there, you know, because you're really delving within yourself to pull out memories from the past and things that have happened to you in the past, and you're involving other people as well. So you got to make sure you get it spot on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was enjoyable to you know, to be able to share. You know, I think we overlook the particularly, you know, the importance of parents and relationships. And, you know, it was a chance to say, guess what, even though I may not have said anything, I was really appreciative, and this is my way of saying thank you, not only to the people, but also to the animals.
There you go. I think it's a great thing to do. Now, there's a wonderful story in there about a little yellow Labrador retriever and the role and the help and support the dog gave to your daughter, who's was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. Can you tell listeners a little bit about that?
So, Emily, my youngest, was diagnosed with the, you know, incurable disease, cystic fibrosis, when she was 2.5 years old. And obviously for a parent, that's it was a devastating and turning point in my life. And some years later, when we were at Children's Hospital in Boston, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and Emily, you know, was so innocent with all the tubes and wires and probes and leads and things in the intensive care unit, just says to me, "Daddy, I want a yellow Labrador. Can we have a yellow Labrador?" And she was extremely specific about this. And I dare any parent in that circumstance to say no. You know, a promise made in a hospital bed is like the Pledge of Allegiance. She will never waver. She will always know it. She will always narrate it back to you.
That's right.
And, you know, it was we struggled because, of course, I work for the MSPCA, and we have an animal adoption shelter, and, you know, I wanted to get a Labrador from there, and that didn't work out. We tried the Labrador rescue agency, and that didn't work out, but ultimately we did get a yellow Labrador. And, you know, it's one of the perfect things about having a pet there is that they're always there for you. They don't care if, you know, if you're having a sick day, they're going to be with you. They don't they're not judgmental. They are not going to take a rain check. They're always going to make your downs fill up. And that was, you know, this dog has become a perfect companion for a child who goes through tough days and tough times. And, you know, it's great to have this touchstone for her, this yellow, furry, food-loving touchstone that she can always turn to and always know will be there for her.
That's great. And the dog's name is?
Dog's name is Meg, and she features in some entertaining and embarrassing stories on my part as we go along. You know, as I say, it gives me that opportunity to tune into everything that Labrador owners love and discover about their animal.
Exactly. Like how they're definitely not low energy dogs.
No, not low energy. And boy, do they love to eat. It's just basically, you know, when we put the food down for breakfast, it's 2-3 seconds inhalation. There's no chew, there's no taste, there's no savor, it's gone.
Yep, they're like young children. Everything goes in the mouth too.
That's right.
But they're great dogs. That's great. I want to encourage everybody to pick up the book. The book's called Ever by My Side, A Memoir in 8 Pets by Dr. Nick Trout. Dr. Trout, before we end the show today, what do you hope people gain from this book? What do you want them to walk away with after reading it?
I think that they just, you know, maybe step back from time to time and realize how much, you know, the subtle nuances, the simple stuff that happens every day through an animal's life just can leave such a lasting mark and impression. Our pets are never with us for long enough. And yet, you know, what they leave is so memorable. You know, it amazes me. The small things that I just still take away with these animals, you know, some of them being gone for decades, and yet I can feel their presence physically almost, as if it were yesterday. And I love that about having animals in our lives.
Absolutely. They're always here with you. And you're absolutely right. I think that's true. You can feel them there with you as well, because I know that they stay with you forever. Well, you can find out more about Dr. Nick Trout and his book, Ever by My Side, A Memoir in 8 Pets, by visiting his Facebook page. You can go to facebook.com/ Dr. Nick Trout, DrNickTrout. And the book, of course, is available nationwide. Everybody pick up a copy. It's full of touching, warm, real stories about real real animals that touched Dr. Trout's life. So we want to thank you for coming on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio today.
Oh, thanks, Tim. It's been great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. So I want to thank all the listeners for tuning into Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Also, once again, I'd like to thank Dr. Nick Trout for being on the show today. Everybody pick up a copy of his book, Ever by My Side. You will definitely enjoy it. Thanks to our sponsors and producers for making this show possible. I Appreciate it very much. To find out more about me, Tim Link, and the other guests that I have interviewed or will be interviewing on the Animal Rights Show, go to PetLifeRadio.com, click on the Animal Rights Show icon. While you're there, check out the blog postings I have there as well. You can also be sure to check out all the other hosts and wonderful shows that are on Pet Life Radio. So go to PetLifeRadio.com. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for the show or guests you'd like to see on the show, please email me. You can email me at tim@petliferadio.com. That's tim@petliferadio.com. And I'll do my very best to answer your questions, entertain your comments, and see if we can get the best people on the show like we always do, get the ones you want to listen to most. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life. Share it in a blog, an article, or a book. And who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.